of heights to the depths of the sea.
When the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. And so the servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." And the servants said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them."
All exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. In our lesson today, Jesus continues on with the parables of corruption among the kingdom community. This parable describes the work of an enemy who tried to destroy the work of the man who sowed good seed in his field. The enemy's purpose is to sow tares among the wheat was to destroy the wheat. But the wise farmer would not allow the enemy to succeed. Instead, the farmer decided to sort it out at the harvest time. This parable clearly describes corruption among the people of God. Now let's join Pastor Rob as he continues in chapter 13 in the Gospel of Matthew.
3 weeks ago, we had Pastor Jeff on the 26th of March, and then we had Palm Sunday and then Easter Sunday. So finally, we're getting back to Matthew chapter 13 to finish up this chapter, I'm hoping, this morning. And I'll be honest with you, this seems like a straightforward chapter, and it really should be. But there's a lot about this, and I really spent quite a bit of time just in prayer and in reading and just trying to say, "Lord, what is it that you're trying to speak here?" Because there's so many different opinions on this passage. And so I'm going to hopefully share with you what I believe the Lord wants us to get out of this morning. And so we started the chapter 3 weeks ago, like I said. We got down through verse 23, I believe, where we finished the parable of the sower was explained. And so we got through verse 23, and I'd like to continue with verse 24 to the end of the chapter today. But just I want to quickly go back, because it's been 3 weeks, just to kind of quickly recap just some things for us to consider as we go along here. Remember, in verse 3 of the chapter, remember it says that Jesus spoke many things to this multitude, including his disciples. He spoke to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow." And we already looked at the meaning of the sower, the four different soils, and the heart preparation of those four different soils. And we won't go into that again today, but I wanted to share with you just this idea of parables, because this word parable, this is the first time here in the New Testament where it is given, and it literally means parabolo, and it means to cast or to throw alongside. And the idea is to compare two things side by side, comparing or juxtaposing, if you will, things that are known against things that are unknown. And so as we look at chapter 13, we will see seven parables. Some have said that there's eight, and I can understand that. But there's seven parables, and the sower, and then we're going to look this morning at the wheat and the tares, the mustard seed, the leaven, the hidden treasure, the pearl of great price, the dragnet. But Jesus spoke the parable of the sower to the multitude and the disciples, but he privately gave them the interpretation of it. And one thing we have to remember is that parables are meant to illustrate. God's heart is to always communicate and for us to understand. But parables are also given not only to reveal, but also to conceal. And we're going to see that Jesus did that in these parables that we're looking at in chapter 13. He did it to reveal and conceal. And the reason for that is because there were those in that multitude whose hearts were soft and believing, and they would understand. They believed in Christ, and their hearts were already prepared to hear what he had to say. and they would be able to understand even his interpretation. Now, he only gave the interpretation to his disciples. So there were a lot of people there who had the other kind of heart, and that was the heart that was hardened and unbelieving, and they would not understand. And so the Lord has this wonderful way of communicating truth to his disciples and to those who want to hear, and also concealing things for those whose hearts are hardened and they don't want to hear. And isn't that kind of crazy if you think about it? But God, he holds us accountable for what we know. And if our hearts aren't ready to absorb what it is, then he's not going to give us more if we're not ready to hear it. Does that make sense? And that's what is really happening here. So Jesus then gives the parable of the sower in verses 4 through 9, speaking of the four soils. And then he goes on, we're going to skip down to verse 10, and his disciples, they understood that something was different here. And he says, why are you speaking to them in parables? And he said, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. And again, there's a reason it hadn't been given to them, because their hearts weren't prepared to handle it. They weren't ready to hear it. But this phrase, kingdom of heaven, in these parables, like we see here in 13, is Jesus is speaking of a time when the redeemed, as well as those who think they are Christians but are not, it's a time when those two people dwell together. And when we look at examples like the parable of the wheat and the tares and the mustard seed and the parable of the dragnet, they clearly show this, that there is two different, this is a time period that's speaking of believers and those who are acting like believers. Maybe they're close, but maybe they're not really there at all, but they're in the church, but they're not real believers. And so these two different groups of people, believers and unbelievers, and yet they're all in this, and they're all calling themselves Christians. And we know that that happens, doesn't it? There are people here in this room this morning. Hopefully none of us, but the Lord wants to reach you. Whether you're if you're an unbeliever, I'm glad you're here. That's the whole point of being here. So this is not anything against anyone who is not a believer. Okay, that's not what this is about. Because God loves you, and he wants you to come to him. He wants you to come to him. But in the church in totality, all around us, overseas, all around the world, there are believers and unbelievers. And so this age that Jesus is speaking of in this chapter, speaking of the time between the two Advents, between when Christ was born until he would come back, physically to the earth, we know that that time period also includes the church age, this area from the moment on the day of Pentecost when the church was born until the rapture of the church. And so the church is in this time frame that is being referred to here as the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is speaking concerning those who will inherit the kingdom of heaven, those who will inherit the kingdom of heaven, otherwise known as the millennial reign or the thousand-year reign of Christ, which is yet future to us, isn't it? Does anybody think we're living in the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ, with Christ sitting on the throne in Jerusalem? No, he's not. So this is clearly not referring to today. There are people who hold to a doctrine called kingdom now theology, and they believe that the church is going to evangelize the world, and then after the church is completely saturated and evangelized, then the Messiah will come. And that's also referred to as a post-millennial doctrine, if you will. But the Bible speaks nothing of that. In fact, things are going to get worse, unfortunately, in the church. And I've seen this with my own eyes. I've observed it with my own senses. And so this is not speaking of a time, meaning we're not in the millennial reign right now. I just want to get that squared away right off the bat. And I don't believe this time period that Jesus is referring to is speaking of the millennial reign, because it speaks of the unbeliever and the believer being together, dwelling together, or being in the same environment. But in the millennial reign, Satan's going to be locked up for 1,000 years. So the age that we live in now seems to pinpoint that this is the time that he's referring to, this time, including the church age, where we see these things very obviously in front of us. So beginning in verse 18 through 23, Jesus explains that parable of the sower to the disciples privately. And we looked at that the last time we were together 3 weeks ago on this. But and I would encourage you to get the teaching of that. It was March 19th, where we went over those first 23 verses. Maybe look at that or listen to that again, and then into what we're looking at today. But let's just look at verses 24 through 30. I'd like to read it to you, and then we'll get right into it. Notice in verse 24, after Jesus gives his disciples this parable of the sower, after he explains it to them, and it says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. When the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. And so the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. And the servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So Jesus obviously is speaking in a figurative language here. And talking about things that are occurring, the things that the disciples, it was still a mystery to them. The church age was still a mystery to the disciples. Because in actuality, the church really hadn't begun. It was right on the cusp of really beginning on the day of Pentecost. I mean, the disciples were believers, but this whole idea of this church age, they didn't understand. And certainly the prophets in the Old Testament, they didn't understand that there would be this church age, this age of, it's been over nearly 2,000 years now. The Old Testament prophets prophesied of the coming kingdom on earth, what we know as the millennial reign. They thought that was going to come soon. And even the disciples and the people in Jerusalem, they were expecting Jesus to usher in the millennial reign, the reign of Christ that is spoken of in the Old Testament, the thousand-year reign of Christ. They had no clue that there would be this interruption in the program. That instead of going from Christ's death and resurrection right into the kingdom age, the thousand-year reigns, they had no idea that right in the middle of that whole thing, there'd be another 2,000-plus years, which we are living in right now. We are living in that time right now. And so, let's look at it, verse 24. So another parable he put to them. Notice them here seems to include not only the disciples, but this multitude. And later on, we're going to find that Jesus would explain this parable only to his disciples privately. He wouldn't share it with the multitude. He would pull them to the side, speak to them privately. And we know, based on verses 36 through 39, Jesus reveals the legend, if you will, of what these parable means. And what do I mean by that? We just read that parable of the wheat and the tares, but who is the man who sows the good seed? We find out later in this chapter, it's the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Who is the field, or what is the field? And Jesus defines it for us. It is the world. Who are the good seeds? These are the sons of the kingdom, the believers. Who are the tares? These are the sons of the wicked one. People who may claim to be believers but are not believers at all, or just downright wicked. And the enemy who sowed them, who is that? It's the devil. And the harvest, what is he speaking of? He's speaking of the end of the age. We are in an age right now, and that age is coming to an end. When Jesus returns for the church and lifts us up, and then when he comes back in his second coming, that's going to be the end of the age. Because when he comes back physically to the earth, a new age will begin, the thousand-year reign, the millennium we call it. And it gets better after that, but I won't go there because I don't want to derail us. And then the reapers, who are they? Well, they're the angels. They're the angels. And Jesus tells us these things later on in the chapters. But notice he says, but while men, verse 25, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. And so the servants said, you sowed good seed, didn't you? And then how is it that it has tares? And he said, an enemy has done this. And the servants said to him, do you want us to gather them up? And he says, no, lest while you're gathering up the tares, you uproot the wheat with them. And we know this. When you're planting, when you have plants, ladies in your yard, or guys, when you're planting and you're weeding, some weeds grow right next to your plant. The thing that you spent $49 for, you know, and you planted it in the ground. Now it's growing this really thick weed right next to it. And your temptation is just to grab it and rip it right out. But you know you can't do it. You got to be really careful because the roots get around the other one and you could uproot both of them, right? So it's not a good idea. It's better to trim that thing, discourage it as much as you can, and let the plant that you spent all your money on grow. And you tend to that. Now, this word tares in the original language is zizanion, and it's darnel grass. It's a type of grass. It's actually a weed that grows alongside the wheat in Israel, and it looks very similar to wheat. And it's actually mildly poisonous to man, mildly poisonous. If you were to thresh grain, wheat, and you got some of the darnel grass, which looks very similar, if you were to eat it, you might have a dizzy spell, you might be nauseated, you might have other symptoms, but this is why you can't remove it at that time, because you could hurt the wheat. And as time gets closer to the harvest, the wheat, as it's the grain on the head begins to grow, it'll bow because of the weight of the grain. But the darnel grass, which grows up right next to it, that looks like wheat and has grain on it, it doesn't bow. And I find that interesting. There's even a spiritual lesson in this for us, because the real wheat is bowing, and the darnel wheat, or the darnel grass, is not bowing at all. As believers, we bow to Christ. And those who don't know Christ, who were just playing games, there's no bowing, there's no obeisance, there's no reverence, right? But this age that we live in before the second coming physically of Christ coming physically to the earth is an interesting one, isn't it? It's very interesting because the church is filled with people. In every congregation around the world today, it's very similar. There are those who are born again, and then there are those who think they are, and maybe they're really not, or maybe they're even wolves in sheep's clothing. And other than identifying a wolf in sheep's clothing, we have to be very careful with each other, don't we, and not to judge one another. Because we're all growing, aren't we? The person sitting next to you may be further along in their walk with the Lord than you are. And maybe they're just starting out. You don't know, and it's not for us to, you know, don't go around looking for, you know, you're a tare. You're a tare. Well, how do you know that? You look just like us, but you're not one of us, you know. But you don't know. You don't know. And you've known this. You've known people who have called the name of Christ. They've said that they're born again, and they endure for a while, and then all of a sudden you realize that they're really not a believer at all. They do some, you know, they stop going to church, they're still sleeping around and doing their other things, and they never were Christ to begin with. But does he love them? Of course he does. And so as we look around, and hopefully you won't look around the room, but just look at yourself and say, Lord, help me to be secure in my walk with you, and help me to encourage everyone else, and I'll let you sort that all out at the end. It's your business. It's not my business. But we need to make sure that we are Christ and encourage others as well. I love what Jesus said in Matthew's gospel. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name, cast out demons, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This sounds like a person who came to church, but they really weren't part of the church. And God even allowed them to take part in some of the things that the church was doing, but they never were part of the church. I've seen that happen. Have you seen that happen? Don't know for sure. I mean, God is still working in their hearts, hopefully. But again, I can't worry about that. That's God's business. He'll sort all those things out. So verse 30, it says, "So let them both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest I will say to the reapers," and we already know who the reapers are, right? It tells us later on, I already gave you the legend of what these things mean. These are the angels. The angels, they'll gather together the tares and then bind them in bundles to burn them. But he says, "But gather the wheat into my barn." And so verse 30 seems to be speaking of this time of Christ's second coming when these things will occur. Now, we haven't got there yet, but in verse 41 and 42 and in verses 49 and 50, it uses similar language and it's speaking really of the same event. Of this idea of the tares being bound in bundles and then burned in the fire. And it's speaking of when Christ comes back in his second coming to the earth physically. I mean, certainly there's a judgment at Armageddon. We've looked at that when we are in Revelation, right? But there's also another time not too long after that battle that Jesus is going to separate the nations. He's going to have we call it the sheep and the goats judgment, or you can call it that, but it's a separation. And it's another judgment. And it's speaking of that time as well. And probably speaking about that very specifically. In chapter 13, verse 41, "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That describes exactly what's going to happen during that judgment when Christ returns. Also in verse 49, "It will be at the end of the age," it says, at the end of another parable, "the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into a furnace of fire. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's a judgment that, as believers, we don't have to worry about. Because we'll already be in our glorified bodies, our resurrection bodies, serving Christ in the millennium. We won't have to worry about this judgment. But we'll look at verse 50 a little more when we get there. But notice the next parable, the parable of the mustard seed. Another parable, listen, he puts forth to them saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than all the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." So mustard seeds were among the smallest seeds, and you've often heard the phrase, it's as small as a mustard seed. But a mustard seed is actually an herb. It's actually an herb, not a tree. It may grow into a bush, but it doesn't grow into a tree. So Jesus here is speaking of something abnormal that is happening. Something that is abnormal. And the birds lodging in its branches have been seen by some as a measure of success of the church. But that's not really accurate biblically. But rather, it's speaking of, I believe, biblically again, of demonic activity within the church. And we see this in the parable of the sower and its interpretation. Look back with me at verse 4. Again, if you would, please. Notice when Jesus was talking about the parable of the sower, what did he say in verse 4? He said, "And he sowed, and some fell by the wayside, and the birds," underline that, "the birds came and devoured them." Now look over in verse 19 when Jesus defines what those birds were.
That's the end of our study for today, but please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.